The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hey, it's Chris Fleming. Listen to Dave and Mike on Odyssey Files, because if you don't, you're going to get abducted. And it didn't work.
Oh! Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, the Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening, Para-X. It is not 6 o'clock, it is 7 o'clock, which means you're now listening to the Odyssey Files. We are in prime time, first week, so I'm hoping we're not going to blow it. So, normally, who would be with me is my co-host, Mr. Dave Soering, who is not here because he got into some sort of accident this weekend, which I'm going to get into here in a couple seconds. With me tonight, though, is my, how did you phrase it? The B team? JV, maybe?
The B co-host.
The B co-host, Mr. Jim Winter, who is my my lead investigator of my Dubuque chapter. Good evening, Jim.
Hello, Mike, and hello, everyone.
Well, that's something that we never say. Hello, everyone. We might start doing that. I'll have Dave do that. It'll be like his new catch line. Hello, everyone.
Sure. He'll be the Andy Richter of the Odyssey Files. Yes.
Well, I would hope just Para-X in general. So sure. I'm gonna read you this text message I got from Dave. I'm probably not supposed to, but I'm gonna do it anyway. So when he was telling me that he wasn't gonna be able to do the show tonight, this is why. He said, "I had an accident, severe concussion, 14 stitches above my eye, and my eye is swollen shut. Jaw is about 3 times its normal size, so my words are not clear, and it hurts to talk."
Oh, wow.
I shouldn't laugh. It's awful. But if he could text, he's all right.
Could he send a photo, maybe?
Not right now. I doubt it.
Darn it.
So, yeah, he's pretty much looking like the Elephant Man. So he's not going to be here for our phenomenal guest, our first guest in the prime time, Mr. Ken Bogle. How are you doing tonight, Ken?
I'm well. Thank you for having me. And hello, everyone.
Copier.
So, okay, I'm the oddity here. Is that it?
Well, I just wanted, for the record, if we could just say it, I typed it in first in the chat room. So really, I beat you to it, Jim.
Oh,
you did, but I don't access the chat room. So
no, in fact, Ken, I gotta say you're the first of my guests like ever that has actually gone into the chat room. How are we going to talk about you behind your back if you're if you're in the chat room watching?
That's just go to private messenger. That's what everyone else does. Facebook.
Well, that's true. I prefer. Public shellackings.
Yeah, I do too. Give me that.
No, I'm just kidding. So not only Ken are you our first guest at our new time slot, but this is also the 1 year anniversary of the Odyssey Files.
Oh, well, happy anniversary.
Well, thank you very much.
So yeah,
you are double important to us.
Cool. I love that. That's cool.
So Ken, normally, I asked my guest, you know, why don't you give us a brief history of how you got involved with the paranormal? But you're more of I don't want to say like an outskirts paranormal.
Yeah.
I really don't know what to classify, because I will be completely honest. Yes, I obviously know what tarot cards are and what they're supposed to be able to do.
Right.
But the only thing that I know less about tarot cards is women. So that'll give you a brief, that will give you a brief like overview of how much I know about tarot cards and how they do what they do. So for the first half of this show, I need you to help me understand tarot cards, because I don't.
Okay.
And I want to, because it's part of the paranormal field. So you are going to be not only my guest, but my teacher tonight.
Oh, okay, cool. I love that. Well, I first got started doing tarot when I was 8. So I'm 34 now. That's 26 years. And it came because my grandmother had noticed that I had an exceptional talent to know things I shouldn't know. The phone would ring. I would know who would be on it and what was about to happen. Or somebody would be coming to the house later that day. Nobody knew about it, but I was always like, Dawn's coming, you know, or Laura's on the road. She'll be here in a minute, or something like this. And then there were other things. I started having dreams and stuff that became noticeably important to what was about to play out for everybody. I was having spirit guests, you know, at night and talking about it. And I was even, what I say, attacked. It was a weird moment where I was being bombarded by a dead relative. And I didn't know he was a dead relative until I was 27, when I was recounting the story on a podcast. My mother actually listened, which she never does, but she actually listened and was like, I need to tell you that was actually your grandfather who you never met, who died. But anyway, there were all these sort of key points that everybody could recognize that, hey, wait a minute, Ken has this gift. And so my grandmother, really secretively, on the weekends, she and I would get together and she would kind of talk to me about spirits, how to communicate with spirits. She did some psychic development exercises with me. Then my parents used to have, well, my mother did after the divorce, she would have poker night. And my Aunt Caroline would come over with a deck of poker cards before the men got there, and she'd read fortunes for everybody. And so she taught me how to do that. And so I went back to my granny and was like, look what I can do with poker cards. And she was like, yeah, but have you ever heard of tarot? I was like, no. She's like, let's do that. So we went and we got this deck of tarot cards. I don't know where they are now, but anyway, she got me this deck and she taught me how to read them. And I had a really great talent with that. So after we were done kind of learning all this stuff, I did a lot of self-development in this sort of a way and read privately for people. And I did not do it professionally until I was 28 or 29, something like that. But anyway, so I then ended up in a point in a position where it was like I got to choose what I was going to do for a career. And I decided I'd do tarot, and I opened up Tarot by Ken LLC. And since then, I've done nothing but shuffle as a full time gig for the rest of that time, since I was 28 or 29, whenever that was. And that's how I got started doing it. Now, tarot is a tool of divination that allows you to deal with people, to answer their questions, to help people, to provide clarity and guidance. But it's also a great tool in the paranormal, because I read locations before I go to locations. People who are my clients who go to investigations will actually call me and say, hey, I'm going to, you know, this place or that place, and I'd like to know what it's about, like the Hannah House I've read, the Thomas House I've read. I've never been there. But one of my clients, Michelle Kubach, goes all the time. She's like, you've really got to tell me what's going to happen. So I lay all this stuff out, and it's always accurate. It's always true. And then, so the tarot is a great way to kind of invest yourself in paranormal investigations and to understand spirits and spirit communication. Anyway, there's 78 cards in a deck. Every card has a meaning. Every card has a definition. Usually about 5 or 6 definitions, and you shuffle them thinking about a question, and then you cut them, and then you lay them out in a pattern called a spread. And then that spread kind of shows you what definitions work and where everything goes, and your intuition kicks in, and the cards start to kind of relay a message to you. And that's when you give your reading, and it's kind of amazing. You should have one done. I should totally read for you one day.
Yes.
There you go.
I almost thought about just being like, bring out your deck. Second half of the show, you're just gonna do it right for me.
you gotta be careful with that though, because like I'm the kind of person that really gets in there and finds those secrets you don't want other people to know. So maybe off show would be best for you if you've got.
the thing is I like to consider myself to be so outspoken and over opinionated that there's red in Jim Nod's head, like very enthusiastically.
Yes.
That I don't think anybody would find anything that you would say surprising. I just almost think that the reason why I almost like hesitate to do it is I just think for whatever reason, no matter who I have come in contact with, whether it just be like a coworker or whatever, something always happens that has never happened before. They're always like, well, that's odd. Well, that's never happened before. I'm like, that's me. So I just think that when you do this reading, you're just going to look at these cards and be like, that's never happened. All I'm getting right here is that you suck. That's all these cards are saying.
You have such a high opinion of yourself. It's kind of, you really got to tone it, that ego down a little bit.
That's the only reason why I do it. Because if I don't, my ego is just going to skyrocket even worse than it already is. But
I get it. I totally get it.
So I just think that the cards are going to show me how mediocre I am, and I don't want to do that.
You know, I had recently celebrated my 34th birthday, and I asked for everyone to roast me. So I had like a group of people like that I love do a roast, and my husband said, you know, Ken is proof that if you work hard enough, you too can rise to a great level of mediocrity, which is great.
I actually, it wasn't my 34th birthday, but it was like my 30th or something. I had my friends do the exact same thing. And my favorite joke of that night said, Mike, the only reason why Mike doesn't want to drink is because he's afraid he'll say something nice. That was my favorite joke of the night because that was hilarious. But okay, so the thing that maybe I missed, and you'll have to clarify this for me. So in order to read tarot, you pretty much have to have some sort of like psychic intuitive gift, or is it something that like myself, who's sensitive as a brick, would be able to do as well?
Well, everybody's born with a certain amount of intuition. So like everybody has some kind of a gift. It's evolution. It was evolutionary. It's what kept us safe in the jungle when we were hiding from cougars or whatnot. You know, it was something that lets you know that you're not alone in the room. You know, when you're in a place with activity, you get that sort of the hair that raises up on the back of your neck. That's all a part of like your intuitive gut. So everyone is born with just the right amount of intuition to do tarot. So what you got to do is you have to mix your intuition and your intellect to read tarot. So what I always do when I teach tarot is not to use your intuition at first, to actually go through and study cards and to understand the meanings of all the cards and understand how spreads work and then intuitively fall into them. So yeah, you could totally read tarot. Anybody can read tarot. What makes it really brilliant, though, is when you can get your intuition involved. And everybody has just enough intuition to do what I do. It's really tons of people who thought, oh, I'm not that gifted, have come to me and we've developed them psychically. And they do really, really well, very well. So, yeah, you could totally do it, brick or no brick. You can be as intuitive as a nutshell and still make it work. It's good. You can totally do it.
Nice. I might have to look into that.
You should. You really should.
So how do your readings of locations that you've never been to work? I mean, like, what do the cards tell you about these locations?
Well, that's a bit more of the intuitive bit. That's a bit more of being psychic. Now, what I usually do is I will sit quietly and get my mind right about the location, try to sink into it, and I start getting images. And then if I'm picking up on any spirits, I then take the cards and I read those spirits. And that's usually how that works. And the cards sometimes will tell you, like, if there's an inhuman entity there, if the entities that are there are negative or positive, usually how many of them there are, And then you kind of go from there. It's just all sorts to kind of play in together. But for investigations in places I've never been, it's kind of remarkable. I'm always impressed when I do it. And I'm the hardest person in the world to please. But when I come out with something and then my client calls me a week later and says, oh, I went there and you were dead on. You know, it's really kind of impressive. And there's maybe I don't know if I should tell that story.
Yes, you should.
But you know, every time I start saying I shouldn't tell that story, I tell it, and the videos get thousands of views. But next thing you know, people hate me even more. But I'm going to do it. There was a
nobody hates you, Ken. We all love you.
Nope. Just for sake of your ratings, guys, I'm going to give it to you good. So here it goes. I read for a location here in Kentucky that was a former sanatorium. We'll leave it that way. And I had not been there yet. And the client was talking to me about, you know, what should I expect, you know, and these things. And I said to her, you should expect a lot of trapped spirits, but spirits that didn't belong there in the first place. Somebody has opened a gate and they have trapped certain spirits in. And the people who operate this former sanatorium don't want them to leave for various reasons. Some of them quite possibly being finite. If you're listening at home, you can't see. I'm using a lot of quotation marks. I'm doing my best to not be liable. But and so the client went. She came back and told me. She's like, yeah, it's almost like somebody did some kind of dark magic or some kind of black magic or some kind of really nasty occult thing, because a lot of those spirits did not feel that they belonged there in the first place. So that's always pretty interesting to me when that happens. But when I went, I was shocked by the fact that there wasn't just one gate open, that there had been multiple gates opened at multiple locations inside of that place. So I won't be back. And after whoever and the people who own that, once they hear this, they'll never invite me back. So it works out for everybody.
Yes, they will, because they love green more than they hate you.
This is probably true.
I know exactly the place you're talking about. And in fact, last week, Dave and I were talking about how people who do events and stuff like that, how if they feel that it's not a contributing factor to what people do in the building during these events and during these investigations, or it's not a contributing factor to like an uprisal and activity, why not? Then they're flipping insane.
Yeah.
And they're lying.
Yeah, totally. But you know, there's kind of a culture that would rather have trapped spirits in their location to make that money than to actually help spirits move on or to even understand that spirit. They just don't care. They just want the cash and that's it. And you know, I love money. I would roll a hula hoop down my street naked for $50. That ain't even a joke. I'll do that right now. But, you know, when it comes to dealing with the spirits of those who are lost, who've lost their lives and stuff, I have such disrespect. I can't participate in it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm more of like a find out while they're there, what's going on, what can I do to help them, you know, that kind of a thing.
I am 100% with you. Jim, you've been very patient in letting me just talk. but as a journalist, it can't be easy for you to sit back and not ask questions. So I'm going to shut up, and you can take over, because I know that
you're gonna shut up.
If you screw it up, I'm coming back.
That's fine. No worries.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, Ken, I will admit I do have a tarot deck in my house. Cool. It's a baseball tarot deck that I got in Cooperstown, New York, when I was at the Hall of Fame. So all the cards are baseball themed, so it's pretty cool.
I totally need you to let me see these. Like, how does that even work? Sure. Oh yeah, you have to see the pictures.
I will send pictures.
Okay.
And I actually have a spare tarot deck of baseball. There's one card missing. But I'll send you some pictures. Coming from a very logical background, I'm a very curious person, and I'm curious. In your case, did you have any paranormal experiences before you started doing tarot and really channeling into that, or did they kind of coincide and come about at the same time?
Well, I did have a lot of paranormal experiences when I was a child, before anybody had even spoken to me about how to protect yourself from being bombarded with spirit activity, you know, as a psychic. I remember being in my bed and my bed was set so that if you turned to the right, you could totally see the hallway. Okay. And every night, I would look over, and there would be a parade of people. And it kind of makes me a little weird to talk about it. But there was a parade of people that were obviously spirits. They were almost translucent. They had things wrong with them. They were bleeding. They had holes in certain places. Some of them were really wonderful. Some of them were really dark. And it terrified me because they didn't stay in the hallway. Sometimes they came into the room and kind of stood around me, which was really intense. Oh. And so I would lay in bed and I would pray to God, please wrap me in the white light of the Holy Spirit and protect me against those things that I don't understand. And I would pray this so intensely that I would envision, without anybody ever telling me how to do it, I would envision this great white light all over me, all over my bed. And that's the only way I could get to sleep.
Sure.
And then years later, as I started developing psychically, it got worse. It got really worse. I was 16, I think. And I just recently started publicly telling this story because I didn't think people could handle it. But I'm going to tell it again. When I was 16, I went to a girlfriend's house. She was older. And, you know, one of the people I worked with at the restaurant, a steakhouse back in the day. And Reno's Roadhouse. Anyway, so.
Nice.
Yeah, I know. I brought you your peanuts. It was amazing. Anyway, so I go over to her house and she said, you know, I'm experiencing paranormal activity. Would you read the house? And I did. And I recognized that there was a really dark entity that was inside of her house. And I went back home after the investigation and I went to bed. And when I was sleeping and something just woke me up and I had no control over my body. My body, like a roller coaster, went vertebrae for vertebrae. I slowly came up off the bed. The last thing to come up off my bed was my head. And then my body twisted, like just snap, twisted. And I looked over to my lover at that time. Uh-huh. And I opened my mouth and this cold, cold air came out and I started to get panicky. Like I had no control over my body. And I looked toward the foot of the bed and this black smoke is the only way I could describe it in that term people would understand. It was a mass, a black mass slid from the foot of the bed down the floor, up the side of the wall and up into the corner directly facing the bed. And there I was twisted, terrified. And I looked into what I thought was its face because it had no face. It just, I knew it was looking at me and I was looking at him. And then I felt this hand wrap around my lower spine and start to shake me. And when that happened, my whole body kind of shook and I just screamed and cried because, I mean, what do you do? What do you do in that moment where you know that something has a hold of you that you don't know what it is? When it was over, I started being able to pray out loud. And when it was over, I kept praying and praying. And my friend called in some people from a Pentecostal church who came over and anointed the apartment. And we never had problems with that again. But it was one of those things where I had opened myself up to the point where to a point that wasn't safe because I hadn't learned how to properly protect myself yet. You know, I hadn't learned. I was too young. I was too green. I was too eager. And those kinds of paranormal experiences have happened all the time. And the further I go in my career, the worse they've gotten. Going to Ohio State Reformatory with Wes Forsythe. You all know Wes from Scarefest Radio and Paranormal Filler. We love that guy. He's so curmudgeon and so I love him. Wicked sense of humor. Anyway, being able to see darker energies that were there that Wes couldn't see. And Wes is a really good intuitive, too. That happens a lot. So, yeah. And, you know, even the point where, you know, I was, I think, 9, and I went downstairs to lock the basement doors. And it was just my mother was divorced, and it was me and my two sisters, and I'm, of course, the youngest. And it was my job to go down and lock the basement and come back up the steps and, you know, go to bed. And I went down to lock the door, and I went around the side to go up the staircase, and there's a door that separated the basement from the staircase. Anyway, and I opened that door to go back up the staircase, and when I did, I knew someone was behind me. And I turned around and looked, and there was this white man with white hair that was sparse, kind of like mine now. Totally like mine. And he had these piercing eyes, and he was angry. I can now, I mean, like he had a white shirt that was unbuttoned to here and buttoned down all the way, and these dark gray khaki type pants. And I looked at him, and when he recognized that I knew he was there, it's like he was running toward me, and I just took off and I just ran as hard as I could. And as I was on the staircase, I felt him on my shoulders and I was screaming to my mom, "He's got me, he's got me, he's got me." And
sure,
my mom comes running out of the room and she's like, "Who, what's happening?" And I hit the foyer and I keep running up the other side and I'm in tears, and she grabs me. She's like, "What's happening?" And I described who this person was, what he looked like and all these things. And she was like, "It's just your imagination. You need to calm down." Cut forward 20 years, she calls me and says, "I lied to you. That was your grandfather."
Wow.
And so he was an abusive type person. So it was like, yeah, that was kind of bad. So yeah, I have those. They happened kind of the same time. And as I develop, they get worse.
Sure. And you talked about protecting yourself with the paranormal. Do you, when you do tarot readings remotely for locations, do you do a process like that where you protect yourself at the beginning and at the end?
Yeah. I do that before every reading. When I start my day, you know, when I first wake up, I do protective prayers, and I have a prayer room where I'm in there for 45 minutes every morning. And this is where prayer happens. This is where meditation happens. This is where chanting happens. It's where I get my mind right, and I get my spirit right, and I get protected. Then I go through reading all day long, and then when it's over, I go back to the prayer room and I release any negativity, any positive spirits. And then I pray for all those who have passed away for their comfort, peace, and rest. Every spirit I had a communication with, everyone I talked to, I pray for their benefit. But I especially pray for those that have passed away. And I want them to be, you know, in heaven, in nirvana, in peace. And then I wrap up my prayer for all the living, and then I go to bed. So, yeah, I do that. Every time I get up to do readings, first I start with prayer and protection, and I end with prayer and protection. That's how it works.
Gotcha. Mike, you've been patient. You have something else you want to ask?
I do.
Excellent.
Of course I do. So, Ken, you were talking about the negative type stuff that has attacked you and whatnot. Has it gotten ever so bad, or an attack that was so that you thought maybe of giving it up?
Yeah, and recently. Yeah, there were the other day.
Be that recent.
Yeah, it happens all the time, and it was actually Saturday. Saturday it happened. I was at a convention. And I don't just sign autographs and things when I go to conventions. I read people at my booth, because that's why the hell else would I be there? I'm not just there to be pretty, because I'm failing that on every count. But I will read your cards. And so I went through and I had done 4 mediumship readings. And one of them was for a gentleman who had accidentally killed another guy. It was a total accident. And he so couldn't cope with it that he killed himself. He had overdosed on pills. And by the time it was over, the feeling of depression and guilt and burden I felt, I was distraught. I continued to go the rest of the day. That was in the first part of my day. And I just kept going. And when it was over and I was a mess, I said, "I just don't want to do it anymore. I really don't want to do it anymore." And it was really hard. But I go through that regularly, because everybody's an empath, but when you're a real true empath and you're feeling all the hurt and the pain and the guilt, you know, you're reading for a suicide. By the time it's over, you feel beat, you feel defeated, you feel crushed, and it just is not a good feeling. It always sucks. But the reason I keep doing it is because I think when his loved ones left the room, they had peace. When his loved ones left the room, they knew why he did what he did. They had made peace with what he did, and they knew what they needed to do on their end to bring some comfort and acceptance to themselves. And you know, that's the reason why I do it. So I have to keep going. There's no choice. I have no choice.
So you might have just answered this for me, but you know, maybe there's another detail that you could add, you know, for me. What is it like for you when you do open yourself up to all of these other people? I mean, because I'm assuming you don't know what you're about to like when the family that approached you at the convention on Saturday, I'm assuming you didn't know that, you know, what they were going to talk to you about or what was about to happen. What is that like for you? I mean, as you're doing a reading, to all of a sudden understand kind of what you're about to experience?
Well, I always make people tell me why they're there first. You know, I always make people tell me why you're there, because I want to make sure you don't waste my time or that you think I'm some kind of circus poodle that's going to jump through hoops for you, because that ain't going to happen. I'll tell you to leave. And I'll still charge you, too. But it's like, you'll pay me for wasting my time. So I do know why people are there, but I don't know the details of it. It's in the reading that the details become clear. And what usually happens is it's almost like, in most cases, someone pulls my shoulder back and says, oh, no, I'm back here. And that's usually what happens. You can actually watch me do it. I did it with Elizabeth Sain on Tarot Date the other night. Someone pulled me back and said, wait a minute, I'm back here. And then depending on how heavy they are, I either feel like love, or if they're super heavy, I feel pressure. And then everything loses light. For example, there was one woman whose mother had sold her into sex slavery when she was a kid, but not to strangers, but to her husband, the young girl's stepfather, and all of his friends. And everything around me became black. Everything was black. There was no benefit. There was no love. There was nothing of pleasure in the room. And then I saw the mother's face just wrinkled and smiling in this like really twisted sort of felt demonic kind of way. And I pushed back from the table and was like, what is happening? I won't read for this person. Who is this? And she said, it's my mother. And I said, why does she feel so evil? And she said, because my mother did this to me. I said, why is she smiling? She said, because she enjoyed doing it. She didn't have to work. It's what she did to make money. And my heart was broken. But that's sort of the way it happens, is that, you know I'm about to read for a spirit, but based on what that spirit is, I feel certain things. You know, if that person was injured in some way, I hurt where they hurt. If that person had, you know, shot themselves in the head, basically, I begin to have a headache. There was one house, and I wish I could remember what that location was. It was a manor house of some kind that there was a paranormal investigation in. I was reading a client who was going, and I was coughing, and I kept saying, I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm coughing. She said, because there were slaves that died in the basement because of a fire. And it felt like my whole, like I couldn't breathe. So it's a weird situation when you're reading for something like that and your body's doing things you don't understand. All you can do is talk about it and hope that somebody understands what point you're trying to make. But usually it's just a ton of pressure, and you lose light, or you gain light, or you feel love, or you feel darkness. That's usually what happens. And it's a weird, weird thing to try to explain.
I think you did a decent job.
Well, thank you very much. I do what I can do. Thank you.
So one more question before we go to break. This comes from the great and all powerful Barb from the chat room.
Hello, Barb.
So she says, this is actually a question that I would like to know too, and for whatever reason, I have not asked it. Are spirits able to see the future per se, or is it just kind of a broader perspective of the living?
You know, I've had a couple of spirits tell me about things that would happen in the future, but I don't know enough about it to act like I have a proper opinion. Do you know what I mean? Nothing worse in this industry than people who don't know stuff to act. Look, did you see how I cleaned up my language just then? Like on the spot. I just did. That's amazing. Anyway, they act like they know stuff and they know nothing. They know squat and they just run their mouth like they know everything. So to Barb, I say this. In my experience, I have had spirits tell me about things that would happen in the future, such as babies being born. They also tell me things fires or dangers or things like that are going to happen. But also they tell me about things currently or things that happened in the past. You know, I had one gentleman whose family came to me because they thought he had been killed by his nurse who had been his lover while he was ill. Like and they wanted to know if she had killed him. And the man told me that she had, how she done it, why it didn't come up on the reports. You know, the coroner's reports and stuff. And I basically had to plead with that family to not take me to court and make me testify against this nurse. I was like, this is tarot day. You know, I'm not telling you what you can say in court. But anyway, long story short, I don't know what happened with that. But yeah, spirits tell me about past, present, and future. But I don't get a whole lot of the future. It's just been a rare occasions where they tell me about what's going to happen soon.
Okay, I have one more question.
Okay.
Before the break. Because... You know, based exactly on what you just said, and I asked this question 2 weeks ago, too, of Mr. Chip Coffee. Do you think that there are rules that the that the deceased, that the passed over, have to abide by when they interact with the living. Like, they can't say certain information, even if they know it. Or, do you think that there's certain things that they have to abide by on the other side?
A code of conduct.
Sure. A code of conduct.
Well, I want to give you props, because no one has ever asked me that question. That's kind of a brilliant question. I'm impressed.
It's all right. You put the level low enough where that could happen.
Okay. I say no. I think it's some kind of ethical thing on the side of the spirit to determine what they do and do not say. It's almost the same thing as I do know certain spirits don't want to mess with your everyday life. You say you have a grandfather who passed away. He doesn't want to come rattle pots and pans to tell you to get a divorce, or, you know, your son's on drugs, or whatever. He just simply is there. Then there are other spirits who want to be a protector, and they do want to kind of warn you. They do want to say something's happening, or you need to be careful, or these kinds of things. So I would say there's no real rule to it. I think it's just the personal approach that each individual spirit takes. So I'm going to say no. What did Chip say? What was his answer?
He didn't know, actually.
Oh,
that was another. So I guess that's kind of a
unknown.
So I've only asked that question twice, and both times a good one. Kind of a and I had heard that a couple years ago, and it just seems to be the, like, I can't get a name to save my life during an investigation. I can't, you know, and it's even like I was doing an investigation at a home where this historical figure would hold seances in the room because he wanted to communicate with the other side. And now that he's on the other side, I can't get him to talk to me for nothing. and I even tried to use the, well, you know, now that you're on the other side, you can help me, you know, try to figure out, you know, all this stuff, and you can communicate with us. I'm like, but I don't understand why you're not. And I'm not being a jerk or whatever. I mean, being very, very respectful, you know, in what I'm doing. I'm just trying to talk to them, but like, I can't get names at all. And I don't, you would think that would be like the number one thing that a spirit would be able to let you know. It's just, can you please tell me your name? And I get nothing. And so I just keep going over that theory of maybe they're not allowed to say it.
You know, I don't know if it's a rule per se, but yeah, I think there's something weird about that, because names are hard for me. I don't even always get a name. You know, as a matter of fact, I'd say more often than not, I don't get a name. To make you feel somewhat better, even me, just to kind of ease your ego slightly, I don't even get a name sometimes. And when I'm doing readings, I ask for the name. Chip does too. You know, Chip will say, you know, I want to know how old they are, what their name was, how long they've passed away. I just simply need to know the name. And I go from there. But yeah, names are hard. At the Rhodes Hotel in Atlanta, Indiana now, I think Mike Couch is really involved in that. We love Mike Couch of Lost Limbs. But that was one of the last times, and that was back, God, that was back like last year, maybe the year before, that I actually got a name in the moment. So yeah, it's a rare thing that happens. It's rare.
Okay. All right. You know, and so yeah, it that kind of thing just stems my curiosity on whether that is true or not.
Yeah.
So I've just started asking that question to see how, 'cause you guys communicate with the other side far, far more than I do and have that ability. And I'm just wondering if maybe you picked up on that. Yes. One way or another. So, okay, perfect. Okay. Break time. got no more questions. Well, I do, but that could be for the second part. So, all right. So, we'll be back, here with, Mr. Ken Bogle, here on the Odyssey Files.
Hey there. I don't know if you've heard, but there's a great new radio show on Para X. Two hosts, 1 hour, and too much fun. Stephanie and Heidi not only talk about the latest goings-on in the supernatural worlds, they live it. They want to hear from you. They want to help you understand and guide you. And they want you to tune in. So, grab a friend or come alone to gather around that metaphysical table with Heidi and Stephanie. If you're interested in the worlds of the unseen, tune in to the Gathering Radio Show, Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern on Para X Radio.
listening at home, at work, or anywhere. Thanks for making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
Heidi, what are you listening to? Heidi? Heidi? Oh, hey, Steph.
Hey.
What has your attention? Oh, I'm listening to Para X, the calling radio show. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. What's it all about?
Well, it's hosted by three guys, Jerry, Alan, and Will, and they talk about paranormal investigations, UFOs, cryptozoology, psychic phenomenon, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, well, it's kind of like The Gathering, but on Wednesday, right?
Yep, you got it.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling.
The Calling radio show every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time only on Para-X.
Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Hi, everybody. This is Chip Coffee, psychic and medium. I just wanted to let you know that when you're in the mood to get weird, you need to tune in to the Odyssey Files with two of the biggest weirdos I know, David and Michael. Take my advice. It doesn't get any weirder than that.
Amen to that, Mr. Chip Coffee. Sorry, I played a promo for that we had Chip do. And I'm so going to have fun having you do one, too. Okay, so we're back. Now, Ken, you mentioned it, I don't know, like 5 minutes ago? I can't even remember how long ago it was. so you said last week you did a reading with, was it with Elizabeth Saint or for Elizabeth Saint?
Well, for Elizabeth Saint. So I right now have a show on thehaunted.space. It's a website you go to, www.thehaunted.space, no.org, no.com. And it's called Tarot Date with Ken Bogle. And every week I fly someplace. I never know where I'm going to end up. And I fly someplace. I go into some stranger's house and I read their tarot. And last week I read for Elizabeth Saint. Now, what's cool about that, and you can do it, you can go to the haunted.space right now and you can subscribe for free for 7 days and just binge watch, you know, all these wonderful shows that we can talk about in a second. But the last episode I did for Tarot Date, I read for Elizabeth Saint, and it's the first time we've ever done a reading face to face. I've read for Elizabeth for 2 years over the phone. Every 6 weeks I've read Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. And I've also read for Nick. And so it was kind of odd to be like sitting there face to face and watch her expression and be able to like talk to her and see how she reacts. It's totally so cool. Actually, in the moment, she had me laughing so hard, I thought it would be really important to tell people we weren't drunk. It's like, it's really good.
She is a friend of the show. So
yeah, she's amazing. She is amazing.
Any juicy gossip you want to give us from that one? of course, it's just as a preview of
right.
people that I wouldn't be completely interested myself.
Well, there is in that episode, the last episode I did of Tarot Date with Elizabeth, there is a bombshell about something no one in the world knows about her, except for her closest people. So I do share that, and we do talk about it. And then we also open up something she doesn't talk about a whole lot, which is that she is also a psychic, and that she's actually more medium than psychic. And communicates with the dead in a way that really impressed me. Like in the moment on the camera, you can see me kind of be shocked by how unbelievably talented she is. And she's totally going to put me out of business if she ever decides to do it. I love her, but she will totally put me out of business.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I know that they made the fact that she was intuitive and sensitive as part of Ghost of Shepherdstown.
Yeah.
But. What you're saying is that she's actually far more talented in that aspect of the yeah. paranormal than the show, you know, led us to believe.
They really play it down because she herself plays it down. And I don't know if other people know this about her or not, but her brain is so unbelievably open that I think that she has access to a lot of other stuff that she really should not. So it's not just being psychic. It's not just being medium. There's this like whole other level of energy that she can read that a lot of other people just can't. So it's a great episode. So, but anyway, yeah, there's tarot date. And it's all on the haunted.space. You got the tarot date. You got Chad Lindbergh's badass celebrity ghost hunt. And some people from Supernatural have been on there. Chip Coffey has been on there. I think he was the first episode Chip was with Chad. Then we've got the Within These Walls with Dan Klass. And I love me some Dan Klass and Chelsea Gill. I love these people. And then Dee Garcia and Christopher Moon just did a show. And they're now new to the network. They did two shows last week. And the Ghost Crier guys, Aaron Thompson and Nick Simons. Fabulous kids. I love these two kids, and they're just amazing fellas. And they have a show.
Aaron's a friend of mine.
Oh, he's so amazing. And I've been like really like one of their biggest supporters. I remember years ago when I first saw them on Twitter, I was like, I'm sending them money. And so like I sent them like money. I was like, you fellas need to make it. You totally need support. And they've not disappointed me. They're going to do things. So anyway, you can go to thehaunted.space and watch that. It's fantastic. And again, we're doing a thing where you can get 7 days for free. You can binge watch all these amazing episodes. It's all live. It's unedited. It's what happens in the moment is what you see, whether it's spirit activity or the internet failing, you know, because you all know about internet and how incredibly difficult live content can be, you know, like Skype, for example. But there's all kinds of that. I even read for a girl, I didn't know it at the time, but it turns out it was Jennifer Lopez's cousin, her first cousin. And there I am. She's beautiful. I'm talking to her. I had no idea she was related to her. So it's like there's all kinds of really great, fantastic things to watch on The Haunted Space. But definitely watch Tarot Date with Ken Bogle.
Nice. So who? Okay, so you just go every week to just random people's houses?
Yeah.
Wow. Nice.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Can I talk about why I don't like that? And I mean, absolutely. I love the show. I love
wish
the opportunity.
You would.
Yeah, I love the show. I love the opportunity that Nick and Elizabeth have given me, but I have begged them privately to stop doing that. They have a vision though. And as long as they'll have me, I'll continue to do their vision. But when I'm going into someone's home that I don't know, I'm the one that's a bit wonky, you know, because it's like you're in these people's houses. If you say something that's not cool, you're in trouble, you know.
Right.
You're kind of begging for trouble. And there was one person I read whose wife, this guy's wife, was pacing in the background. So like all these things were coming up that I couldn't say out loud. And I was trying to coax him into opening up, and he was building a brick wall and it was so uncomfortable. And so I said to Nick and Elizabeth, we really need to do this someplace where I'm safe and secure. And these people are on edge because that's what needs to happen. They're too steady. They're too secure. We need to kind of shake them up a little bit so that they open up more. But yeah, I don't care for it. It's a scary little moment that happens when you knock on a stranger's door and say, oh, hi, I'm here to talk about your deepest, darkest secrets. Where do I sit? You know?
Let me just set up this tripod camera here.
These six lighting.
Don't worry, only a couple million people are going to see it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. You'll come out like roses, I promise. Yeah.
So how do you choose where you're going to go?
I don't. Elizabeth and Nick do.
Oh, wow.
I have no choice.
Do you ever feel like maybe they're just messing with you sometimes? they're like, I got a great client for you. I want to go do a tarot reading. And then they just sit back and watch.
Yeah, I do sometimes. But, you know, I'm going to go back to that one guy. He really upset me. I went to this guy's house, and I don't think Elizabeth would ever put me in a situation that's dangerous, you know.
But I agree with you on that one.
Yeah, but she had interviewed this guy. His name was Art, and she said, "You're going to go interview. You're going to go do tarot readings." I don't even know the gender of the person when I get there. So I go up to the house and knock on the door, and there's this guy. He opens the door, and I'm immediately picking up things about him. And I sit down, I do the reading, and we're picking up things about him. And so I started doing this sort of internal look at Art, you know, who he is as a man. And there's a lot of messed up stuff. to the point where I was getting creeped out, to the point where it was so heavy and intense, and you could hear the wife walking around. You could hear that. You could feel the tension. I thought, oh gosh, if he doesn't open up, this episode is going to suck. And he didn't open up, and it was sucky. But everybody at home was like, everybody at home was like screaming at their computer, open up, Art. He's telling, you know, he's like, here's your chance. And he wouldn't. And when it was over and the cameras were broke down and all the production, everybody put everything away, and Nick and Elizabeth had already left and I was the last one out the door, Art grabs me by the shoulder and he turns me around in this really creepy way. And he says, by the way, Ken, there are no secrets in this marriage. Just like that. And the wife from the other side of the room screams, and the secrets that have been in this marriage become less and less relevant as the years go on. Oh, wow. I was like, you two just effed me off in front of a camera and made me look like a joke. And you two are just twisted as all get out. And like, I hate the both of you. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to be kidding me. And I got out of the house. I go into the car. I'm smoking. And I said to Nick and Elizabeth, I need a drink. Like, I have got to go right now and get drunk. I don't know what you're going to do with me, but never like, let me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hated it. It was awful.
It's like a paranormal version of Punked.
Yeah, really. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally that.
Hmm. Oh, would that be an idea?
paranormal Punked.
We ran it. Dan Klass and I have been working on that. We've been trying to convince them because I really want to kidnap Chad Lindbergh and lock him in a thrift store and see how long it takes before he tries on a sundress. Like, I'm like, how long until Chad tries on like a pearl necklace or a thrift store wig? Like, I need to know. We have to kidnap him and lock him in a thrift store. Let's just see how he reacts. You know,
I'm gonna go with under 5 minutes.
I love him, but I think you're right. I totally do. Or let's pull a Punk on him, you know, getting his hair done or something like that. That's what I really want to do. I really think that would be fantastic.
I love it. Okay, so we have about 10 minutes left. Ken, why don't you tell us, because I know you do more than the haunted space and private readings. You got a bunch of events coming up that you're going to be a part of. If people want to come out and see you, where can they do that?
Well, the only way to really see me in person is to come to an event, unless you're willing to pay a lot of money for me to come to your house. And I really do charge a lot of money for that. So unless you want to pay that up, the best place to see me is at a convention or fair. And I do the Mystical Fair of Lexington that happens every single month. Here in Lexington at 1084 Whipple Court, Lexington, Kentucky. For more information on that, go to mysticalfairlex.com. Again, that happens every month. But next month, I'm coming to Mama Ruby's Expo. It's a mysticalistic expo where they're going to have, I think, Kim Russo is on board. She's going to do a gallery reading. There's all these different people who will be there, spirit attunements, stones, and semi-precious gems, and all kinds of like Reiki and foot detox. And me, I'll be there. I'll be doing a gallery reading called On Blast with Ken Bogle. And that's going to be at the Owensboro Convention Center the 13th of April to the 15th of April. And then at the Inner Light Festival, which happens at the Clarion in Lexington, Kentucky, it's the 16th and 17th of June. And of course, I'm always at the Scare Fest, which happens at the Lexington Convention Center. I'm a sponsor and a board member, and I host a couple of events for them, which is pretty cool. But that's how to see me in person. It's a great way to get your cards read and save a couple of bucks. It's a great way to do that. And if you do want a private reading with me, I do them over the phone. If you're here in America, I do them over the phone. If you are in like my clients in Europe or Canada or Venezuela or something like this, I do them on Skype, which is always really interesting because I never really dress up for Skype. It's totally cool. But anyway, you go to tarotbyken.com, click on the contact booking page and fill all that out. Say, hey, I want a reading. And then I personally respond back to you and we book your reading. So tons of ways to get a hold of me there.
Very nice. Very nice. Jim, any final questions?
No, I'm good.
Oh,
no, I do have one.
Okay.
Doing some background research before we got on the show, I understand that you had a very contentious relationship with your father. And did your tarot reading was that kind of like a channel for you to deal with that situation, or how did those come together and play together?
That is unbelievable that you're going to drop me on that. In like the last 5 minutes, I had no idea you were going to do that.
Neither did I.
Oh, wow.
Very succinct. You don't have to go into great detail.
Okay. Well, I will. Thank you for that, because I'd rather not. But no, the tarot did not really help me deal with him at all. I think the tarot helped me understand his behaviors, and I think the tarot helped me understand why he did what he did. But that was more of a spiritual journey thing that kind of helped me understand that I needed to make peace with him. So unbelievable. Sure. You totally just Diane Sawyered me. You totally did.
Is that the gotcha question?
That was a gotcha. Oh, shut it down. That was a good one, Jim. You did well.
I'm not a gotcha journalist, but I do my research as a journalist. So
yeah, that was a good one. Dang.
Wow.
Ken has never
gone there.
Yeah,
Ken is never going to follow me on Twitter again.
Yeah, we're going to let Ken go. But before we do, Ken, tell us about your abusive emotional relationship with your father. Oh, okay.
Oh.
Let's do that.
Only here on the Odyssey Files.
I love you, and I'm going to listen to this episode. I'm going to listen to your show every week, and if you don't do that to someone different every single week, I'm totally coming after you. That's what's up.
That's fine.
Well, I mean, Jim will probably fill in until Dave comes back, which will probably be next week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's why I'm the B co-host.
I thought it was great. Good job. Thank you all for having me. I really, really appreciate it. And if ever we can get together and do something, please let me know if I can ever come back and do your show again. I really enjoyed being here. I hope you all the success in the world, because I did not stop smiling since I got on here, and I just really appreciate it. This was awesome.
Except for those last 2 minutes.
I mean, if the camera, if the people, seriously, Michael, tell him, if the people at home could have seen my reaction, you would have just earned some kind of podcast Emmy. It would have been like, my mouth dropped. It hit the floor.
Beho Stonewall's guest.
Not intentionally at all.
Wow. I'm gonna have to get this up on the website as soon as possible.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I read your blog. So.
That's awesome that you did do that. And the blog is pretty amazing. I've not written a blog in forever, and that's of course on tarotbyken.com. And also I share some like investigation stories there as well, and also some really good guidance and wisdom. But that was a thing called, I think a title that, if I'm not sure, I think it was Daddy Issues. And it was two parts because there were so many issues I needed to talk about. So yeah, that's a good blog series. That was, I'm actually been working on one about my granny and how my granny helped me develop psychically and what my granny meant to me. She's no longer with me, so it's been a hard one to write, that's amazing. You did very well. I thought for sure you were about to pop up with a blog that I had written about all the bad stuff I had done when I was younger. What I thought you were about to come out with. It's amazing.
Next time I have a chance to stonewall you, I'll ask that question.
Yeah, you need to Google the truth about Ken Bogle. And if you think, that'll really open your eyes about me for sure.
No. Mike will never have me on again, so it's all good.
Oh no, he's amazing. You'll be back on. You're amazing, and I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Any time that Dave is gone, it'll probably be you now.
Okay, good.
Although I'm going to ask for a list of questions before the show, and you're not allowed to deviate from that list.
That's fine. I can be a robot. That's fine.
Don't want you to be a robot. All right. So, Ken, thank you. I think you're actually the first guest who was like thanking us.
I loved it. I loved it. Yeah, my manager, Lindsay Center, said, would you like to do this? And I said, yeah, sure. But I had no idea it was going to be this great. I had no idea.
So of course.
I'm going to text Lindsay right now and say, thank you for making that happen. These guys are pretty amazing. So thank you all.
Before, when I started my relationship with Lindsay, I was like, oh, hey, can I get Grant on? You know, can I get this person on? You know, and She's like, yeah, let me see if they're available and whatnot. And then after a couple of those happen, also she's like, well, how about this person? Well, I'd like to get this person on with you. And I'm like, yeah, I like how the tables have turned.
Yeah. She wrote me this weekend to see if I wanted to be a part of an investigation experiment, but I was drunk. And so like, I didn't respond to her to the next day. I was like, I really wanted to, but I was wasted. So I would have embarrassed us both.
Nice. All right. So that does it for us for this week. Next week, we'll either have another great guest, or we're actually thinking of maybe having kind of a best of for the past year. Either way, it's going to be another great show. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Mr. Ken Bogle, who I will not, I in full disclosure, may or may not have at some point written Ken Boogie instead of Bogle. Yeah, thank you for listening.
Thank you.
This episode will be up on the website, odysseyparanormalsociety.com, as soon as I get around to it. Yeah, so we'll see y'all next week. And again, thank you, Jim, for co-hosting with me tonight. And again, thank you, Ken, for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.